So it's not just, here's your pill, take this for life, you'll be good. It's like, then you discount all the environmental and ecosystem factors that are continually in there. Maybe there's a relationship issue that's going on, or maybe it's particularly dry this summer and your skin is not happy. Right. Or the foods that you're eating are just a little different. You're not finding the same sort of foods, or you're eating more processed foods this summer. So it's just working with people on that level and understanding that, you know, we all are unique. There are some central principles, but we just follow your imbalances.
Awaken Beauties, finally, it's here. The truth, to empower women to true inner beauty through a healthy mind and inner biology. I am your hostess, Cassandra Keel, a 20-year salon owner, organic beauty product formulator, positive mind management, and clinical hypnotherapist. And I am here to help you stay sane, get sleep, and bring your sexy back. Sponsored by evokebeauty.com. EVOQBeauty.com. Now, let's get to it. All right, ladies, if you're looking for healthy hair, beautiful skin, and a calm, quiet, clean, collected, powerful mind with superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com. That's EVOQBeauty.com. And you'll receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's EVOQBeauty.com. Use the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order. Welcome to the Awaken Beauty Podcast. I am Cassandra, your organic beauty, positive mind management, and biofeedback practitioner. And if you're like most women, you've been on a never-ending quest for products that are both safe, but also work and move the dial. Your skin has a remarkable ability to rejuvenate itself. Yet so many women get desperate after seeing a late night QVC episode on the latest and greatest, and you're losing sleep and you succumb to the ad, to not being able to sleep or just finding those silver bullets from magazine ad. And we all know deep inside, taking good care of our skin is the key to effective, healthy beauty regime. But with so much conflicting information, product overwhelm, and bright and shiny objects out there, the path to healthy skin can seem far, far, far from clear. Well, today we're in luck as we tap into the wealth of the knowledge with Dr. Raja, a board-certified dermatologist, and we'll break down the pillars of true skin health and how to age at our best. Now, let's give you a little bit more information about Dr. Raja Sivamanani. He is a board-certified dermatologist as well as an Ayurvedic practitioner and hosts the wellness platform Jiva Factory and has two clinics, Pacific Skin Institute and Zen Dermatology. He focuses on general and integrative dermatology, including medical, surgical, and cosmetic services with training with bioengineering, allopathic, and Ayurvedic medicine. He merges modern research and science with personalized approach to each patient. His training in Ayurvedic medicine lets him take a more humanistic approach to patient care science and research. Dr. Sivamanani has over 110 peer-reviewed publications and textbooks on cosmeceuticals, and he leads many clinical studies that focuses on the impact of food, nutrition, the microbiome, the gut-skin axis, as well as studies on standard Western medications and devices. Finally, he is a deep believer in integrative medical education and one of the main editors of LearnSkin.com. And I will say you might want to head over to his podcast that he shares called Learn Skin, and you'll go ahead and find it on the Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. So it is an absolute delight and honor. Raja, thank you so much for being on the Awaken Beauty Podcast. Welcome.
Absolutely, Cassandra. That was quite an intro. You were very sweet, but I'm just excited to have some fun with conversation today.
Absolutely. Well, you are a wealth of knowledge. Like I said, I didn't find you on the podcast, but I refound you on the podcast after doing some digging and you know, your name kind of kept coming up into my ecosystem. So I always believe that like frequencies attract like frequencies in this, you know, ecosystem that we live in. And when we resonate at that level of desire of knowledge and what we want to share with our clients or guests on that listen to our show are very much in cohesiveness on what we want to share. But I really wanted to have you on the show because, you know, as a board certified dermatologist, you know, women kind of perk up a little bit because they really want to hear what you have to say. You know, you have a client that's coming into your office that has, you know, many diverse things going on. And I think, you know, maybe we can just start with you a little bit and just really get to know a little bit more about, you know, what brought you to the, you know, focus of dermatology.
You know, the way I've talked about my journey is really kind of how I practice medicine too. It's all about our ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And you nailed it right there when you said ecosystem. It's an ecosystem of how we're inspired along our lives. And then hopefully, you know, my goal is to then create ecosystems for my patients where they're not dependent on any one pill or any one cream, but they're really looking at themselves as an ecosystem where they can change and fluctuate. So myself, really, I had, you know, several failures along the way, and failures are always failures in the moment. But then when you look back, it just depends how you walk through the doors that you're presented to see if they continue to be failures. So originally I was a bioengineer, loved that. I was at Berkeley, applied to medical school. And if I took an honest look at that time, I was just not very good about portraying why I was so interested in medicine. And I think I was still searching for a mentor that would really guide me. And I didn't get into medical school. I did exceptionally well, but just goes to show getting good grades isn't enough. I mean, you really have to have that social interaction and have that social ecosystem develop as well. And I think the mentor is a big deal. So I met my mentor, Howard Maybach, who was in dermatology. And I started realizing, gosh, you know, because initially the goal was, oh, let me get into medical school and then see how I can help people. But then it totally shifted. Here was a man who is just so full of energy. And he taught me that medicine isn't just about the X's and the O's. And I talk about this too. It's not just the left brain that you need to use. Really, you got to bring in that right brain and put it all together. And in dermatology, there's so much social interaction, emotional underpinning. It affects how people judge themselves and judge each other for better or for worse. And then also there's the research component of it. And then for me, really, then going into integrative medicine really tied it all together because really the skin is a window into how you're feeling inside. And if you're not feeling good on the inside, you can do whatever you want to the outside, but it's akin to putting a bucket as the roof is leaking. And you can change the size of the bucket, but the roof is still leaking. And you got to go up there and really go after what can I do to really shift my ecosystem, not just put a little Band-Aid on something. And that's where it really shifted in terms of thinking about health and why ecosystems are so important. And so to answer your question a bit more around how I approach ecosystems and how I approach patient care now and my philosophy, it's really about how can I talk to this person, address their immediate needs, but then how can we talk about inspiring them to actually become healthier in other aspects of their life that have nothing to do with dermatology? I mean, I spent, and I tell you, Cassandra, I spent last week about 20 minutes with this woman. All we did was we talked about a relationship, mm-hmm. how she was connecting with her husband and what were the different strategies she could use to try to open up communication because she was dealing with a rash that I knew was chronic and flared by stress. So we have to address what is that source of the stress. I'm not a marriage counselor, but at the same time, I could get her to start thinking about that and start thinking that, hey, maybe there's another approach to addressing this. You don't have to just put a Band-Aid on it. And so that's really my philosophy. And I think a lot of it's just been built up over time of who's helped me along the way as well.
Yeah. And that first mentor, like what was his specialty that really struck you? I know for me, when I changed I had a whole paradigm shift, and maybe you can explain this, but mine was sitting in, you know, kind of like one of those, you know, universities, all the stairs are checked up in the top. And I'm listening to Dr. Rob Bukowski, who's a functional medicine practitioner. Yeah. And he's putting all of these things into a blender, and he was basically showing us what a vaccination was. And I remember at that point, it had nothing to do with my industry, but I knew at that point how toxics we were both forcing into the body and our ecosystem, that I would have to create an ecosystem that would be safe for people to walk into, because they would be reacting to everyday materials such as their products that they put on their skin or their food that they eat. So it was less about the aesthetics, but more about the foundation of seeing the future of the toxicity of our world. What was that switch for you?
Well, he was in dermatology, and he was actually a dermatotoxicologist and a dermatopharmacologist.
Okay.
What that means was he's studying how your skin behaves when different sorts of substances are put on it. How does it change its chemical behavior? And probably more importantly, how does it change its physical behavior and immunological behavior? But if you wanted to ask me what was his specialty was getting people inspired. Now, whether he was in dermatology or whether he was doing research, he knew how to get people to start believing in themselves that maybe had a tough go at something or maybe were just really short. Now, I still remember this phrase. I remember when I sat down to meet with him, and he's a very efficient man. And we went there. I went to meet him at his office at 7 a.m. He has a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock meeting time, which magnificent house. Anyway, I sit down. And I tell him, you know, I didn't get into med school. I'm just wondering what I need to do. He could have gone into a big list of things that he had, that he wanted me to do. And, you know, how you're going to learn this, learn that. But, you know, the first thing he told me was, you know, after he listened to me for a while, he said, sounds to me you were really close. We just got to shift how you approach this and stay positive. And, you know, you're going to get in. And I can't tell you, just having him say that was more important than any of the other things that he could have done to help build my CV. First thing was he built me up to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to believe in myself. Then building the CV was the next part of it. So that's really was the tipping point. And that's when I realized you can get people to believe in themselves, whether it's a student, whether it's a resident or another physician that's working with you, or even myself or my patient, that's the first step. And that's really the most important thing. You know, and we can do all kinds of fancy procedures, which we do, fancy treatments, which we do, but you've got to really believe that, you know, I'm worth it. And I think that's the really first important step that I learned from that interaction. And his name was Howard Maybach.
I love that. I really love that. He invested in you.
And he did.
Therefore, you went back and said, all right, you know, scrap that. I'm going to go back into this. And this is my passion. And you know, with marketing, you and I are both, you know, we're in with our clients, but we're also really heavy in marketing and creating other things. And we both know that you want to do business with people, and you also want to portray to the other person of a know, like, and trust mentality. And, you know, that's where I really applaud you, because the approach that you take is really a know, like, and trust, because how you position, how you practice is really, people know because you're board certified, but you're liked and trust because you lead first with, like, you sharing the story that you did, that you sat with this woman and you broke down and just gave her a space to listen to her about her problems with her relationship, which was directly affecting her skin, which you and I both understand. So I really love that. And I think that's, you know, the premise that we lead with. All right, ladies, if you're looking for healthy hair, beautiful skin, and a calm, quiet, clean, collected, powerful mind with superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com. That's evokebeauty.com. And you'll receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's evokbeauty.com. Use the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order. Now, as far as, maybe we can kind of just dive right in. Like, I love to talk about science and skin. We can both geek out. But I thought maybe we could take this from kind of like we peel the layers outside in. That's kind of how a woman would maybe approach, because I believe that what we look at, we take care of. Jim Quick, he always has a t-shirt with a brain on because he's always making sure that he's taking care of his brain. And so women are always looking at themselves. So they're always judging and trying to fix and fixate on their skin. But I really want to take the opposite with you. And let's start like at the internal. So we can kind of build that onion outward versus inward, inward versus outward, I should say. Let's kind of start off with the premise of based on experience and what you believe true with all of your research, kind of like, let's maybe just take the five fundamental things starting at the very, very core. What would that look like? Would it be kind of the gut microbiome? Where would you start with that?
Well, you know, I have a five-tiered approach that I try to take with
you. Okay.
If you want to start with skin, not in this case, but I'm saying if I have a patient that comes in, we'll start with skin, but usually it really is revolves around gut, mind, body, skin, soul. And the soul is really important too. But I think talking about nutrition, talking about how your gut's doing, or in some people, sometimes it's the mind that they want to talk about first, because frequently what brings people in is going to be something that's stressing them. And it could be the stress of the diagnosis, the stress of worry around skin cancer, the stress that maybe, you know, people are going to start judging me. So when I say starting from the inside, it could either be the mind or the gut, but I think both of those are great starting points. I tend to really focus in on what is the symptom that they're worried about so that we can build some rapport around what we're trying to address. But then from there, we can then focus in on what are some solutions, either from the mind or from the gut, but it could be one of those two, Cassandra. And really, it depends on who it is. I don't have a set algorithm on how I start it. If someone comes in really anxious, they're telling me that's where we need to start. And if someone comes in and says, I don't know what's causing this, but they seem pretty, you know, even keel, but they're still wondering, gosh, is there something that I'm doing? Then I start with the gut because I know that, you know, different people have different starting points and just adjust to who's coming in.
Yeah, I love that because you're really taking a focus, a client-centered focus approach, and you're starting with where they are and meeting them where they're at. So maybe I'll play to it and just say, okay, you know, I'm coming in and yeah, I'm stressed out, but I'm having all of these skin reactions and what have you. And you are led to believe that there's a gut issue. How would you coach a client that may not be aware, but what are the key signs perhaps that there may be a gut microbiome issue? And how would you look at this, you know, the skin and gut access?
Yeah, the gut-skin access is very interesting. We're now learning that almost everything that deals with inflammation or everything that deals with some sort of imbalance in the skin has a gut component. Doesn't mean the gut's always the cause, but there's definitely a gut component. If you look at diseases, whether it's psoriasis or whether it's you know, even if you're looking at aging, and I'll talk about a few things that we go through with patients.
Okay.
Even if it's something like skin cancer, we know that there are nutritional agents now that are starting to get early studies showing that it can be helpful. So
definitely,
if I think there's a gut imbalance, it won't always necessarily be that, you know, that they're constipated or they have some issues with gut flow or something along those lines. What I'm looking at is gut microbiome. You know, is there something about the gut microbiome that we know with their particular condition that might connect, or some sort of nutritional factor that could connect? And I'll give you an example. Say someone is coming in for photoaging, and we know a lot of folks come in for this, you know, wrinkles, and if there's any sort of mottled pigmentation or increased redness, depending on what we see, you know, we may start to wonder if there's a bit of rosacea, if rosacea is much more, meaning there's like central facial redness, we know that is typically flared by sun exposure. And the typical approach is to give something topical. But now we know there's more studies saying that small intestinal bowel overgrowth can be an issue in people that have rosacea. So we may key in on what kind of foods are you eating? Are you taking in spicy foods? Are you taking in foods that might worsen SIBO, which is the acronym for that?
Right.
Small intestinal bowel overgrowth, or are there probiotics that you might be able to incorporate, or are there small antibiotic courses that we could do to really address that from the inside, not just to address it from the outside? That's one example. Or say someone is coming in for photoaging, as I mentioned. in that case, we may talk about what are the foods that you're eating. You know, are you developing good habits with foods that are rich in carotenoids?
Right.
Or are there supplements that you're taking that could help actually even out your skin tone as well, not just from the outside, but from the inside? And then we can talk about foods and supplements that might go well in that regard. And then really keying in on making sure they have a healthy microbiome. You know, what kind of foods are they putting in? Are they foods that are going to really make the microbiome shift away from forming what are known as short chain fatty acids, which is this new messenger that we're starting to see that comes from the gut. And it's always been about gut health, but now we know some of them go out into the general circulation. So are you eating those foods that are going to support you producing more short chain fatty acids? You know, it's a funny thing, Cassandra, in some cases, the way to reset your gut to start allowing those bacteria to take hold is actually to do some intermittent fasting or to do some fasting. And so we talk about those kind of approaches too. So I just wanted to give you some concrete examples.
I think that's really good. And I want to get dial in a little bit about, so I've ordered the Viome test and it was really helpful. I was actually more in the clear than I thought I would be based on my symptoms. And, you know, sometimes symptoms override a test result because they're not always a positive. And so what is a way that you would get more anecdotal and test someone to see if there's a heavier SIBO issue or biome issue? How do you test for that at the office?
This is a fantastic question because we have to understand their testing can be helpful, but they also have limitations.
Right.
And when we talk about that, and let me just talk about where they can be helpful and where the limitations really set in. Mm-hmm. If you are getting a test, you know, there's many of them that are out there. You mentioned one of them right now, but there are a few that are out there where they'll help give you a snapshot of what your gut is like and what kind of bacteria are there. Remember, these are collections that are primarily rectal collections. They're stool samples. And so what you're hoping is that it'll give you a full snapshot of the entire gut. But many times we haven't gotten to that level with the science. We just know what's coming out at the time that you're collecting. And then we can make some predictions, but it's hard to make a prediction on necessarily SIBO or something with the large colon until we get more and more research around what could be the bacteria that you see. Now with Viome, you know, they make some functional predictions too. And there's a few companies actually that do this. They make some functional predictions. I think you do have to put it in the context of some of the symptoms that you have as well. For example, with SIBO, one of the common things that we'll see is bloating and bloating that are triggered after certain foods. So we'll ask those questions, and that's more of a functional and symptomatic approach where we can try to see, are there micro changes that are occurring? Or we could talk about constipation. Constipation isn't just about drinking enough water. Sometimes it could be that you're not getting enough, you know, we can talk about fiber or prebiotics that are into the system.
Right.
And so then you can then use the symptomology to make a decision there. But the issue with these tests is that they won't be an end-all be-all. There's a starting point. And I will tell you, every year there's shifts in the functionalities. But we do know that there are some bacteria that you can find and that you look for certain bacteria. I'll say one of them, like Akkermansia, mucinophilia. That's one bacteria that we know is really good at producing short-chain fatty acids. And we try to see if there are foods that can shift that, or in studies, if there are ways that we can shift that to become a bit more prominent. And it's only one bacteria. There's so many that we could actually look at. But it's it helps guide your conversation around what kind of diet would you want to do. But you know what the other factor is in here that we don't know really well is, what about that mind-body connection into the gut as well? I think it's important to also understand how stress flares the gut. And so we have to ask those questions. Sometimes you can't get that off of the kit.
My goodness. I mean, there's just so much that goes on in the gut. It like houses. So it's just like, you know, the gut produces hormones. You know, women don't realize that it actually helps produce hormones. You know, it's your protection. There's so much. And so when you talk about short chain, long chain fatty acids, I want to get really crystal clear on how people can get access and add short chain fatty acids. You know, we talk about PUFAs and all of these kind of rancid oils and things of that nature that we know kind of like our listener probably isn't going out and eating a lot of Doritos, but what are some healthy short chain fatty acids that somebody could add to their diet right now to help them encourage that gut microbiome?
Yeah. And I will tell you, you know, before I answer that question, let me also say, you know, I have a background in Ayurvedic medicine, and actually multiple perspectives look at the gut in a different functionality. And they've been doing this for thousands of years. This isn't something that we just made up a test recently. And so they've, you know, clearly there's some evidence there that's not the same as a controlled trial, but they've done it through observational experience. And so when someone has an imbalance, there are other ways to approach that. In Ayurvedic medicine, you have the five elements that you can then look at. How do they go out of balance? And it ties to the gut, but it also ties to the rest of the body. And then the solutions are more holistic. You can have a solution that's addressing imbalances that'll hit the gut, the mind, the skin, the body, all at the same time. So
yeah. And if you really look at, you know, a fatty acid, you're both feeding the mind and you're also helping support the gut, anti-inflammatory on both ends. So really it's not, you're not just throwing in a supplement to help one organ. It really is truly a holistic view. So what are some short chain fatty acids?
So the short chain fatty acids that we think of, and they're natively produced by the gut. So what you do is you give them the food that can help them produce it, or in some cases, as I mentioned, and I'll talk about that, you don't give your gut any food and let the gut just recover and do it on its own. But the three main ones are butyrate, propionate, and acetate. And it's not that you take those orally, but butyrate tends to be really focused around gut health. So a lot of butyrate-rich producing bacteria that are present that sometimes we want to try to overgrow. And there we know that things that are rich in fiber, and we, and a lot of people talk about this, colorful foods. And but why is colorful food so important is that if you eat the colorful foods and you have the skin on the food, wash the skin, but if you keep the skin on your fruits, for example, they're very rich in things like polyphenols, and they're very rich in anthocyanins. And all of these can help stimulate your bacteria to then get into a state where they're going to produce short chain fatty acids. Then you have propionate and acetate. And with propionate and acetate, we've done studies even ourselves where we've shown that if there are certain probiotics that you can take that can stimulate the bacteria to shift in the proper direction, whether it be a spore-based bacteria or if it's a bifidobacteria, a lactobacillus. All probiotics aren't equal, but there are certain bacterial strains that we've tested, even personally in clinical studies, that can shift the short-chain fatty acid balance. So whole foods, not processed foods, whole foods, if you can get into the habit of eating the skin, I'm not saying eating an orange skin, of course, but if you have an apple skin there, don't peel it off, just wash it well. And if you can get locally grown so that there's not many pesticides in there, that will make a difference. And having that extra effort to do that, although sometimes it's harder, does make a difference. And then finally, getting the right sort of supplements in, whether it be a probiotic or a prebiotic, make sure that you understand what your gut's tendencies are, though. If your gut's tendencies are to get really bloated and inflamed, you have to be careful about what kind of prebiotics you put in, but you may want to start incorporating probiotics. Probiotics are live bacteria. Prebiotics are largely dead substances, sometimes herbs, that can sometimes stimulate your bacteria to grow. But if you use very rich, what we call oligosaccharides, those can actually trigger a bit more inflammatory response in some people. So you have to be careful about that. But really, to answer your question, there are some probiotic strains that you can use. Fruits and vegetables, to be honest, are really important for short-chain fatty acids. Fruits and vegetables.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, now the market, because, you know, anything that comes out new, especially evidence-based approach and functional medicine, like everybody wants to create a product for it. There's just so many products in that sector. A prebiotic, now everybody's saying, no, you need a postbiotic. And if we look at the gut as its whole, like most of us, and I'm not going to generalize, but I'm going to generalize, most of us have somewhat messed up gut and could always probably improve in that area because we're not all perfect and we live in an imperfect world. And, you know, so I agree with you, like the most that you can get in with your food base. And I know Fiber Fueled is a new book out there and he really believes a lot in fruit and, you know, energetically, and you look at how life was created and how there's so much richness in one food. And if you just take fruit for an example, like one cucumber, if you plant that, it was made to like give you 10,000 cucumbers. And so it's enriching. It's made to bless our body and give our body the nutrients that it needs to, you know, rejuvenate itself. So I think it can be really overwhelming to talk about all the probiotic supplements, but then we're again going back into that silver bullet of versus meeting with an individual like you and saying, okay, let's get precise. Yes, we can do a test, but let's first and foundationally look at your habits and what is in the colorful, rich foods that you eat and all of that. But my point about energetically with these foods, if you open them up, the fractals gives you insight as to just the consistent pattern that the life of consistency of the earth, and we are an organism that lives in an organism world. And we like to cut ourselves off thinking that just because we have a brain and can think up of these masterpieces on the side to supplement with, that we're not a part of earth and being a part of this ecosystem. So I think that's really great. And I just kind of want to dial that into your last point of fruits, vegetables, diet, kimchi, you know, all of those kind of sauerkrauts, all of those pieces are obviously somewhere to start. And everybody's heard it 1,000 times, but...
But Cassandra, so exactly, everyone's heard it 1,000 times. So let me take it one level further so that we're not just saying fruits and vegetables. Because I think a lot of people, you know, I've done podcasts and whatnot, and it, sometimes it ends at fruits and vegetables.
Let
me give you the Ayurvedic extra little benefit to this.
So in
Ayurveda, the way the body's approach is that there are three main energies. And the three main energies are Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Now, normally they're talked of as humors, but I don't think we need to humorize it because I think they actually have energetics to them. And the energetics are as such. If you take any system, you have something that describes its structure. You have something that describes how it moves, and you have something that describes its transformational abilities and its enzymatic processes. This isn't a genius, right? It's just the fact that you can break things down into those buckets. And the buckets are such that Vata is about movement, Pitta is about energetics, and Kapha is about structure. And so the main question is, are we supporting structural growth? Are we supporting energetics? Or is your energetics out of control? Inflammation, then let's tame that down. Do you have too much movement? Are you dealing with diarrhea or bloating or gas? Or are you not having enough movement? A lot of constipation. That Vata dosha then comes into play. And then Kapha is really about that structure. Are you osteoporotic, for example? Do you have osteoporosis? Or do you have just poor collagen formation? These kind of bridges can be built. And actually, you can peel that layer back down, even one layer down, because there's 5 elements to Ayurveda. But we won't necessarily jump into that, because I think if you Google this, you're going to see Vata, Pitta, Kapha. I want to give people a little bit of a flavor on that. Now, how that comes into foods. Every food has energetics in Ayurveda. And so foods and herbs are not... We talk about them separately, but the truth is they're supposed to be built in together. Like you eat with spices, which are herbs, and you eat with food. Right. So they're actually all combined. And you have 6 main tastes. You have salty, sweet, sour, astringent, bitter, and pungent. Mm-hmm. And those 6 tastes will then drive what the long-term effect is. And we know, for example, sweet and salty have what's known as a post-digestive effect of salty. Now, someone might ask, well, how is sweet going to salty? The way it works is that you have a pre-digestive effect of what it does on your tongue. Mm-hmm. And the post-digestive effect is a translation. Salty just means that it builds structure. It promotes that kapha. But so the problem is when you eat a lot of sweet and salty foods, you're going to gain weight if that's what you all only focus on. And that's why when we say fruits and vegetables, if you only focus on the sweet or those things that are a little bit salty, and this is why juicing is a problem.
Right.
Because the peels have an astringency to them. They have a bitterness to them. So it balances out the foods that you're eating. Mm-hmm. So if you peel that away, no pun intended, and you only have the sweetness of the juice, you are only supporting the kapha dosha to then... maybe perhaps go out of balance. And unfortunately, what is our big issue in America? We have obesity as a big problem, or diabetes. You don't need that. And so what you have to do is find those foods. And this is where the gut microbiome research hasn't quite matched up yet, but they will. I know it will, because we're doing these studies. And I'll tell you one of the results that we got.
Cool.
Is understanding how the energetics of foods rides along with the energetics of the microbiome, and they're not one and the same. Sometimes these other traditions have figured out how to do this. So for example, maybe when you come in and see me, I may talk to you about the need to include a bit more bitter foods and astringent foods, because you've gotten out of balance in the sense that maybe your kapha dosha is too far, and we need to bring that back into balance. We might have things like bitter melon. We may have an herb that we put into that's an herbal combo. We did a study where we looked at triphala, which is three different herbs. It's a very famous herb in Ayurvedic medicine. Yeah. And we found that there were trends towards supporting the microbiome and supporting the growth of acromantia, mucinophilia, and supporting the growth of certain lactobacilli and bifidobacteria. And so now we're starting to see these connections where they have certain actions in the energetics and the theory, but now we're seeing that the gut microbiome shifts and just realize the gut microbiome is not the end all be all. Really what we need to do is look at the bloodstream, sum up everything in the gut, see how it's shifting different markers in the blood. But the idea being that you have energetics of foods that go beyond just fruits and vegetables. What kind of fruit? Is it bitter? Is it astringent? Is it pungent? What kind of foods are you looking at? Even with fermented foods. If you ferment yogurt for just a tiny amount of time, it tends to be sweet. If you let it ferment for a long time, it becomes sour. So just a fermented food isn't enough to just say fermented food. We have to say, how fermented is it? And what is
it? It's called kefir, and it's not that enjoyable for everybody.
You know what's funny, Cassandra? You can make homemade what we call curd.
Yeah.
Now I personally don't actually eat that much dairy anymore. I just don't see a need for it myself. Yeah. But when we used to do the fermented foods, I loved sour foods, and it was because it really gravitated towards my palate. But you're right. It just depends, you know?
I love sour foods.
It was very sour, but
kefir does not allow with me. You want to talk about SIBO and bloatedness, and give me some.
Yeah, see, and that's the problem. If you have SIBO and you eat sour foods, it will actually worsen SIBO. So exactly. you have to be careful. So, exactly.
I love the Ayurvedic viewpoint. You know, and I had shared with you, like, you know, again, there's these moments in time where you have this shift. And I was in school to be a yoga practitioner. And so here I was. And what actually got me into being a yoga practitioner was going through a 5-day intensive on Ayurvedic medicine. And I told you, I was thinking about going back to school for Ayurvedic medicine. So compelling. But when you get into it, it's so overwhelming. And just, I really love your perspective because it's part of you. It's inside of you. And, you know, you have different portals online that people can start to dip their toe in and start to really learn about it. But just talking about Pitta, Kapha, and Vata, you know, a lot of online surveys will want to just go and say, you're one of these types or you're two types, you're a Vata, Pitta, and, you know, you got to eat within these different seasons. It's not as simple as that.
For you, listeners of Awaken Beauty podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Simply go to www.audibletrial.com/awakenbeautypodcast. That's www.audibletrial.com/awakenbeautypodcast.
Can you say a little bit more about how you integrate Ayurvedic into a very integrative approach to a modern day way of how you view your practice?
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out too. The central tenets of Ayurveda, and I think what's really the challenge in any of these traditional forms of medicine is to make it really easily, not understandable, but practical to the people that are listening. Mm-hmm. And that's really the goal of what we want to do. So when you come in as an Ayurvedic patient, for example, mm-hmm. The first thing there's two kinds of balances. And I think this sometimes gets lost. There is your natural constitution mm-hmm. and there's your imbalance.
Right.
And many times these quizzes will say, oh, you have a tendency towards Pitta or a tendency towards Vata. That's just your tendency. That's supposed to be your natural constitution. Anybody can have an imbalance in any way. And by the way, I love the fact that you just mentioned that, you know, you're not just one or two. You have to have all three doshas in your body. If you don't, there's no movement going on. There's no structure there and there's no energetic. So we have all three. It's just a matter of, you know, sometimes in quizzes, they want to simplify and say, oh, you're all Pitta, but you're not just a flame, right? You're a human being.
Right.
So, yeah. And Ayurveda,
I'm not just an airhead walking around. I know I'm very Vata driven, but I'm not an airhead.
You're not just air and ether. That's right. Yeah. That's right. So, you know, and the beauty of Ayurveda is that it's meant to describe the entire universe, not just the body. So realize that the extremes are actually the elements that you see every day. The air literally is the air. mm-hmm. in the sense that it's characteristics. And the fire is literally transformation is characteristics. But in your body, you have all of them. What's important to know is that your imbalances are going to shift and move with time. So you may be a little bit more imbalanced in Vata if you have a very stressful time, a period in your life. And so what you have to do is find a way to bring that under control. And sometimes that can lead to flares of skin rashes. But what you have to do is address that. And if you have a lot of Vata imbalance, then you have to think about things that are going to tonify you. So you can bring that air and ether elements back into check. And those elements, by the way, are translated to English. It's unfortunate that we lose so much in translation. But when we say air and ether, it really is space and this notion of motion. And we have that. Our minds are too active when we're stressed. And sometimes you don't feel grounded. You don't feel connected. You feel out of sorts. And that's what the air and ether elements really represent. But the idea is that as you have imbalances that shift and flow, there's not just a one treatment that fits all. Every single person is going to have things that they have to ebb and flow with how their body's changing. And that's what we're here to do, is to help you as you may shift from one imbalance to the next imbalance to the next imbalance. So it's not just, here's your pill, take this for life, you'll be good. It's like, then you discount all the environmental and ecosystem factors that are continually in there. Maybe there's a relationship issue that's going on, or maybe it's particularly dry this summer and your skin is not happy. Right. Or the foods that you're eating are just a little different. You're not finding the same sort of foods, or you're eating more processed foods this summer. So it's just working with people on that level and understanding that, you know, we all are unique. There are some central principles, but we just follow your imbalances. And so what we try to do is let people know that you have imbalances. And as you go, we have a couple platforms and online spaces where people can come through and better understand who they are. And, you know, Cassandra, at the end of the day, a lot of people go into medical school, but very few of them go in there saying, I want to discover myself. They right. usually go into, MD allopathic training or even naturopathic training. Usually it's because they want to, and naturopathic training does a better job of this. They want to connect with themselves, but usually you're going in there to try to help other people.
Right.
But feels like Ayurveda, perhaps naturopathy, actually traditional Chinese medicine, you're trying to discover who I am more. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that makes it very, very personal. Mm-hmm. And then because of that, you then want to, once you start learning that, you say, why aren't we doing this more? Then you turn to your family member, you turn to your children, you turn to your colleagues, your friends, and you're like, you know, there's a different way to approach this.
100%.
You know, yeah. You have better control. So I think that's the interesting thing about the traditional approaches. And I think you bridge the two together, of course, because conventional medicine is amazing at controlling symptoms and many times getting to the research and the root cause. In Western medicine, they do go after root cause too. I think that's another misconception is that you don't go after root cause. You're still trying to figure out the genetic cause. But, and this is a cliche, your genes are not your destiny. The exactly. epigenetics of what you are exposed to and how you think and how you behave can mm-hmm. control what genes get expressed.
Yeah, I call it the 80-20 rule. You know, I know they want to narrow it down to like 10%, and even some go lower than that. But, you know, I always tell my clients, you know, it's 80% is your ecosystem, meaning your external ecosystem, and 20% or lower, maybe 10 is, you know, DNA encoded. And even then we can turn those on and turn those off. And I just, you know, I think I really kind of like what you said around naturopathic or Ayurvedic or even Chinese medicine. These are individuals that, yes, I mean, you can't not go into that field and be in love with understanding who you are. Because when you understand who you are, and I've experienced this myself, you move out of that place of having to like prove what you want to teach someone, that you start to embody the place where you have the knowledge, and then you move into the essence, and then you move into embodiment, and then you move into where you're at, or where, you know, I hope I'm always, is meeting someone where they're at. Myself not included on what I want for you, but really understanding the human individual, how we're made, and what are the steps back to finding our true essence. You know, I always say I like to really reduce and remove the, you know, move women out of a trance state and move them into transcendence. Because from the moment we're born, we're in a trance of what we should do. And we shit all over ourselves, right? So, you know, when you step into a practice like yours, you know, you just feel really beloved because you understand the essence of a human being. Pitta might be, you know, like we're talking about this imbalance because you have extra heat, you have a rash. Okay, cool. Your body is giving us a signal that it's a little bit on fire. It's a little bit stressed. Could be stressed for many reasons. Could be the environment that you're in. Could be over-exercise and then you walk into a pile of bushes that you shouldn't have and it exasperated something. There's all different reasons, but you really have to take it as a diagnostic and really peel apart everything. And I think that everybody talks about it, but the depth of a practice such as Ayurvedic, really, it may seem overwhelming, but just to work with someone and to step into having you help me bridge understanding me more helps me get back to being intuitive with myself so that I can then better regulate my decisions and not have to be always looking outside myself to really become one with who I am and start to make daily decisions that are better for me.
Yeah, isn't that the goal at the end of the day? The skin gives you so many clues.
Right.
To how you're doing beyond just the appearance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's function, little subtleties that maybe the general person might not realize. If you have extra oil on the skin, or like you said, if there's extra inflammation, all of these things make a difference and they clue you in that there's an imbalance going on. And, you know, small example, if someone comes in with a lot of redness on their skin and, you know, I talk to them, they say, yeah, I've been trying to do the best I can. Yoga, I'll ask them, what kind of yoga? And some people will say, oh, I'm going to hot yoga. I'll tell them, well, why don't we back off on that? Because that's adding more heat into the body, and try one of the other yogas that isn't so focused on a hot temperature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might like that better. And so those are the kind of things that, you know, just thinking through that. And then, you know, look at rosacea, for example, rosacea on the face, flares, we know from just scientific approaches, sunlight, heat, and spicy foods. Well, all of these, sunlight is known to add pitta, and then heat adds pitta, and spicy food adds pitta. Mm. So Ayurvedic medicine had a different approach, but they came to the same conclusions in these sorts of scenarios. And so, your skin is really a clue to a lot of things, especially when you bring in the Ayurvedic element. The Ayurvedic approach on top of the Western approach, it gives you even more clues about a person's tendencies than you might realize.
Yeah. So, you know, let's kind of shift to what really, 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 really women want to know, and that's how to best provide the, you know, the absolute anti-aging, you know, that you can give us would be great. You know, we can, as women mature, we start asking these questions. What's happening to my skin?
Right.
It's going to continue. How fast is it, the rate of this going to happen? And then we start making, you know, I heard once that women in a lifetime spend $300,000 of products in their life, meaning skin, hair, personal care products. And 2% of them actually feel beautiful. So 2% of us feel beautiful after all of this money that we spend. We know that as we get older, we start entering post and pre, you know, pre and post menopause, that even though we may lose estrogen and go more dry, we may have excess testosterone and get acne. So then is our skin oily or is it dry? And, you know, you and I had talked about how, and I was creating a quiz and we're working together, is how we can easily go to a skincare site or a product line site and they want to sell you their quiz so that you buy their product. And it's really not as easy as that. So give us some of your clinical pearls, so to speak, on how women can really look at aging well and kind of where to start and what to really focus on.
Yeah, that is the one of the most important questions that I get in the clinic is, mm-hmm. you know, how can I, not anti-age, but healthy age? Mm-hmm. How can I age healthy? And you do have to look at, is the skin dry or oily, is the very first step before you even start delving into any of the other factors about wrinkles, or you talk about how much collagen there is, or if you start looking at pigment, or is it even or not, or redness. Those are all factors that are important. But it's known in Ayurvedic medicine and also in the conventional approach that the oilier you are, unfortunately, those folks have a higher risk for acne when they're younger. They actually tend to age at a slower rate because they're delivering more natural antioxidants to the skin through their oils, through the sebum. Secondly, if you are very dry, and in Ayurvedic medicine, that's known as having a vata tendency, mm-hmm. then you are going to age at a faster rate unless you find ways to curb that, because you already have a tendency towards vata, you have a tendency towards stress, you have a tendency towards anxiety, insomnia. All these things are going to age your face too. So, and not just your face, I mean, age your body and everything.
Libido.
libido is another, but actually sexual health is really important.
Yeah,
that is extremely important, because that's another source of grounding, you know, at the end of the day. So that's the first thing. But then when you're starting to look at how do we treat this? So from the outside, there are many different approaches that people take to try to just regulate how you're doing. Now, if you have really sensitive skin and you have really dry skin and red skin, you have to be careful about using retinols and Retin-A. Because the problem with that is it can irritate your skin. The new kid on the block, though, that many people may or may not know about, it's not prescription level, but we've done studies on it, and we actually did a big randomized double-blind controlled study. It was a pilot study, but nonetheless, there's a chemical out there that's extracted from the bakuchi herb, which is an bakuchiol. Bakuchiol is a new trending ingredient that does not irritate your skin. Actually, in fact, in our study, we had no one that had any irritation, whereas the retinol group had a lot of folks that had irritation. So that's something that you might want to try incorporating, especially for an anti-aging perspective, if the retin-A's are too harsh on your skin. And then if you have oilier skin, then you probably want something that's going to be a little astringent, because if you put a lot of, I'd say, creams and whatnot on the skin that's oily, you may plug those pores and start creating other issues. If you have oily skin, though, here's the thing. We also have to learn how to embrace ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, part of the issue is that we're always driven by this notion that we're imperfect. And we have to find a way to get out of that state and say, you know what? I accept myself for who I am. And if I'm going to choose a healthier me, that's fine. And when I say embrace it, if you're oilier, consider that a boon. Start taking more vitamin E rich foods. Your body's better at delivering that to the skin, just internally. So you can really focus in on that. Yes, you can try to control the oil, but the fact that you have that oil production that's just going on at a much faster rate, get those antioxidants in, like the carotenoids and the vitamin E's, because if you can take that orally, that'll get in. But if you're looking at it from a topical perspective, the retin-A's and the retinols are going to do much better for you in that case. You don't have to necessarily go to a bakuchiol because it's more astringent. And then, you know, in that regard, it won't cause as much sensitivity to the skin and you won't get as red. So, you know, the problem, Cassandra, is when you take these quizzes that are dedicated to a product necessarily, you don't know if they're really looking at the skin or if they're trying to just match you to a product and deliver that to you. Right. And that's where the challenge comes in.
And the challenge is that's most likely the you know, the option. You know, it's a lot of quiz platforms trying to sell the product, and that's fine. You know, that's just kind of how we approach it, so that we can narrow down a choice for women, because obviously too many choices is Lisa with no choice. But, you know, I really love what you guys have created with DermVeda, and we're in conversation how you really look at the body, mind, and skin, because they are all combined, much like we just talked about with Ayurvedic. And the retin-A, not retin-A, it's a big discussion between the natural and non-natural industry. And really, it's what's best for the woman and what their goals are. Short-term, long-term, you know, I've heard studies, long-term retin-A. The only concern I have there is that women have such a stressful lifestyle that it is, you know, just like intermittent fasting, it is a stressor on the body. And so your body and your skin has to be ready to invite that kind of stressor in. And I, you know, say corneotherapy is, you know, making sure Dr. Klinghart really made sure that the skin is in a healthy place first. So making sure that your foundation is set. Then, you know, it's kind of like with hair color. If I'm going to just walk into the hair color and start breaking the rules, I'm going to have a really messed up client. I have to understand the fundamentals, and then I can start breaking the rules. Same with skincare. So we really have to understand how, and I, you know, my role is to help educate women, how does your skin work, so that you can walk into a space and be autonomous in your decision and make a decision that's best for you, both on the range of ingredients that you want to look for, whether they're natural or maybe have a little bit of retin-A, whether you go to a dermatologist or an organic spa like mine. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities out there, but I think anybody and everybody should really focus on understanding how their body works first. because then you can better self-regulate the decisions that you'll make versus, you know, being that $300,000 price point at the end of your life of that, you know, is just made out of short-term benefits from something that maybe didn't get you the results. You know, we use floral essences from sea minerals. You know, sea minerals are so rich for the skin because they meet all of the skin's macro and micro vitamin and mineral essence on the skin is just so healthy for the skin. It takes it right in. It's kind of like saline solution. It's just like so loving for the skin, but they buffer. And so after so long, they don't continue working and breaking down the skin. So there's a protection point in there so that if women are starting to overabuse their skin, you know, we formulate it so they can't overabuse their skin. And it just turns into a beautiful gommage where they can just kind of slough off, you know, some of the dry skin. So there's just so many variable levels of how deep you want to go with your skincare, but anti-aging is what rules the roost. When they land on your site, that's going to be the first automatic thing that women are going to look for is either anti-aging or get me out of pain because I have psoriasis, eczema, itchy skin, rashes, or what have you. But to me, the exasperation of both of them, and I think you would agree, is stress. Stress on the body deteriorates. Stress on the body is aging. Over a sun exposure is aging, not sleeping correctly and getting in sync with chronobiology and, you know, going back to being one with our planet and our earth, that energetic, that causes aging. So it's an internal journey.
All right, ladies, if you're looking for natural, organic, solution-based beauty and superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com, that's evokebeauty.com, and receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's evokebeauty.com. Type in the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order.
I think there's no question that stress is going to play a role. Mm-hmm. And I think, Cassandra, you've summed it up well. I think the idea is that you have to pair the treatment to the individual.
Right.
There's no one size fits all.
No.
So whenever anyone says, put this in the water, I tell them, let's not. Let's figure out who the person is and we'll put it in their water.
I love that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, it's not an either or approach. It's not a good or bad approach. It's not, you know, it's really, again, goes back to meeting where you're at. So I think you just send such a
what's right for you.
Yeah. Right. So is there anything else that you would want to share with our listeners today on maybe kind of like maybe what do you see kind of up and coming in the skin and dermatology industry based on your side of the table?
Yeah, so what's changing now is that we're using more technology to try to help better assess people. You know, like for myself, you know, we're using image-based analyses of photographs, and we can track how people are changing over time or how things shift on the skin, either through our clinical studies, or now we're trying to bring that into skin typing. And more than skin typing, really, it's about body typing and it's about your ecosystem, but understanding where you're at. And I think it used to be that we would allow people to tell us, do you have oily skin or dry skin? And that's accurate to some level, but we do see some inaccuracies there. Many times people will get it off. They'll be off if they have combination. They really have dry or if they have dry. And some of them actually have oily skin. And, you know, people sometimes just don't realize where they sit, but they perceive themselves to have certain imbalances. And what we can do is we can use image analysis to then follow that. And we can do things like looking at the photograph. And the photograph can look at micro features, how much redness is on there, how much pigment is on there, how much oil is on your face. And we can track that and see how things change. And I think the next level now is to take ingredients and products and matching that to the person. So if you have really oily skin, you don't want ingredients that are going to be heavy on the alcohols or heavy on the emulsifiers. So what we can do, or heavy on maybe something that's going to cause sensitivity. So what we can do is we can actually read the ingredient labels and then now find better ways of matching them to who you are as a person and what your skin is like.
Yeah.
And not only at the skin level, but even nutritional products or foods, eventually we're going to be able to say, hey, this isn't total guesswork. We can actually have a little bit of science behind this. And then as you use the product, we'll see and we'll learn, is this, you know, what are other parts of this model that need to make it more and more impactful? And so that we get it right. So you're not spending months and months spending that $150,000 of the $300,000 just to get to the right regimen. We can try to get you there faster. That's the idea.
So you really see it going into a personalized kind of way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we have to. I think that's where bringing in the traditional forms of medicine with the conventional forms, they're all going to come together, Cassandra. It's going to merge. Yeah. And whether one side likes it or not, the other side likes it or not, it's going to go there because, you know, 1 + 1 = 11, as we say, not two.
Yep, exactly. Right on. Yeah. And I, you know, 5 years ago, I was trying to find a company to do epigenetic based skincare and personalization. It was just too expensive to get into. So it's too soon for its time. But I think with the technology you're talking about and this really wholesome approach, I agree with you. I don't think that we're going to be able to ignore. And what woman wouldn't want to walk in and get it something personalized to them versus, again, going back to Sephora and trying to have a 20-year-old sell them the kitchen sink to get their commissions up? It just isn't, it's going to be an old way of doing skincare.
No, it's going to be an old way of doing things. And, you know, this is what we've tried to emphasize. I mean, that is such a salient point. I can't even tell you. I've gone to Sephora just to listen. I don't tell them anything about being a dermatologist. I just listen. And, you know, they're very sweet, but, you know, they don't necessarily know all the details of what those ingredients do. But, you know, they have a lot of passion. And hopefully in the future, we can channel that with some science behind it as well. So this is one of the things that we're trying to do with our clinic. We have a medical insurance clinic, but we also have a regular clinic. We're building a clinic called the Zen Dermatology. It's an integrative aesthetic clinic. And we'll be doing things like online consultations, but we're going to be doing a lot more customization, integrative therapies, whether it be naturopathic, Ayurvedic. There's going to be some therapies there that really clue in on what are your imbalances. And then we have a platform. We originally had the name Jiva Factory. We're going to change it to Jivome. And the reason we're going to do that is that it's just, I love the word. It brings together Jiva, which is this notion of vitality in Sanskrit, and biome, which is your ecosystem. And it's really the ecosystem of what keeps you vital. And at the end of the day, that's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to stay vital. We're trying to live well. We're trying to, you know, try to find the happiness in life. And how do you do that? Well, you clue into your ecosystem and create it. And that's what we want to empower people to do.
I love that. I love how you said, and create it. Because ultimately, we are creators. We are the creators.
You have the power.
We are the creator of our thoughts. We are the creator of our skin, all of those things. And I cannot thank you enough. And I know that we could geek out and talk, and I'd love to learn more about your studies, you know, because you have like over hundreds and thousands of them that you've reviewed, but we will be in touch. Absolutely. Maybe we'll have you on again in another 6 months or so. And we can talk about a little bit more about the new research out there, how, you know, Zen dermatology and how these other approaches have kind of progressed for you. And I wish we lived in the same state because I would be signing up to be at the clinic and being helping out there. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. And the last thing that I always ask our guests is, you know, this is the Awaken Beauty podcast. And my goal is to make everyone self-aware so that they can really live the life that they want to create. And what is something that you've personally awakened to as of late? It doesn't have to be skincare related or skin health related.
I think channeling into, you know, I talked about the five aspects of skin, gut, mind, body, soul. Soul is best represented by the ether element in Ayurveda, and it's far underlooked. And when I say soul, I don't mean religion. I mean thinking about your connections with others, the social connections. And in this time, you know, with COVID going on, it becomes even more of a challenge, I think, for folks. But don't underestimate the power of those connections. And if you stay happy at the soul level and your ether element is in balance, the rest will follow. And that's something that I didn't always realize. But as I see more and more patients, I realize that the root cause is not at the skin. It's much more at their level of social interconnectedness and how they are responding to the people around them. And as that improves, I've seen that their skin improves too and their health improves in general.
Yeah, well said, well said. You know, we are recording this at COVID time and we talked about social distancing and that oxytocin and feeling loved with ourselves and feeling love around us is certainly something that turns on everything that works in our body and our mind and our soul and our skin. So wonderful, so well said, and such a polished individual you are. Really appreciate you and everybody, you know, make sure you go to Learn Skin, which is the podcast. You'll be able to find Dr. Raja there as well. And until next time, ladies, stay sane, get sleep, and bring your sexy back. All right, ladies, if you're looking for natural, organic, solution-based beauty and superior CBD,
go to evokebeauty.com. That's evokebeauty.com and receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's evokebeauty.com. Type in the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order. Well, hello, Awaken Beauty. Thank you so much for joining the show today. Were you inspired? Please leave a comment or your own personal aha moment so others can capture exactly what you did. Also, please like and subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you're interested in high quality natural products for your hair, skin, and wellness, including organic CBD, please visit evokebeauty.com. Again, that is evokebeauty.com, evokbeauty.com. And until next time, darling, stay sane, get sleep, and bring your sexy back.